Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Mother Nature painted the sky for us this dawning.
It may not look very spectacular now because it's got a big frill of skin around its neck which is folded up, but just as I get closer, it will get alarmed and will display, I think, and show this big fan trying to terrify me.
Oh, Mother Nature, you're just showing off now.
The blue whale! It's the biggest creature that exists on the planet!
Forgive us, Mother Nature!
There is more meaning and mutual understanding in exchanging a glance with a gorilla than any other animal I know.
Yeah, he has to be one of the most recognisable and loved voices on the planet. David Attenborough turns 100 today, and we want to chat to fans, people who've met him across the country. 1800 453 106, that's the number. Brendan is with us on the line. Brendan, did you meet David?
Hi, Andrea. I did. Lucky me. Back in about 2017, I was at a special dinner in London, and I met the man, and a lot of my friends would slag me off for saying I could talk to a wall, but that day I was speechless, I can
really?
Tell you.
What kind of a special dinner were you at that you happened to be sitting with David Attenborough?
He was giving a talk to about 800 people at a private school in London for adults in the evening time. And then there was a special charity dinner and afterwards for Jersey Zoo to raise money for their conservation projects. So I managed to get myself two tickets for that, which wasn't easy, I can tell you. But yeah, got talking to him, nice chat with him at that. But yeah, initially I was very much speechless because, like, I'm sure, like everyone listening, you have huge respect for this man living 100 years and hopefully for many more and still doing what he can do. And just the way how he communicates, I suppose, is just incredible, you know, with such an easy message, and how he originally brought people the world to their living rooms, you know, in the 1950s and 60s, you know, places people had never seen. And, you know, and just the way he just talks, and also I guess the quantity awards he has as well. When he's on TV, he doesn't talk too much, so he's given just there's the right amount of information, and then of course the visuals are go amazing with it, you know. So he's just a spectacular human being for me. He's my number one hero in this world, that's for sure.
Oh. When you met him, what was he like?
You might have heard the phrase "never meet your hero."
Yeah.
Well, that was certainly wasn't true with him. He was
really
amazing,
good.
Like, oh, unbelievable! Like, so when we got to this really beautiful old building, there's lots of us in the waiting area to go into the main building to listen to his presentation, but he just walked through the room. He came through the front door like everyone else. And of course, no one approached him. We were just absolutely gobsmacked. It was like, you know, it was your biggest hero walking past. So many of us were just absolutely gobsmacked. They just strolled through, gave an amazing presentation. And then, he talked about his life, the things he's achieved with nature. And then, of course, we had this dinner afterwards then. And it was, I don't know, the dinner was about 2 hours long, I'd say. So, it was spectacular. Just talked to him about, obviously, wildlife. Talked to him about Ireland, actually. And he talked about some of his visits here. But he was very completely non-egotistical, completely relaxed, really respectful, really humble. The things you've heard about him before were true. I remember writing to him a few years prior to that. And I had a response from him within, I think, about 3-4 days.
Really?
Super quick, yeah. And my friends and all wouldn't believe me. Like, they were like, is that really David Attenborough? You know what I mean? But he was known for that, you know what I mean? He doesn't do email, he doesn't drive. He likes to do things on paper.
Yeah.
He likes to do things face-to-face. So, you know, not just as regards his animals, just the way he kind of lives his life, there's a lot to be learned from, I think.
Inanny Lina, biologist, environmental and wildlife consultant, is joining us, Brendan, as well, on the line today. I mean, when you think of David Attenborough, you know, as an educator, like, he's done so much, Inna, in terms of educating, informing all of us about nature and conservation.
Oh, he certainly has. I mean, he's been doing this, I think, since 1975. So like a whole two generations, not just one, have grown up with it. And we had him on our programme on Mooney Goes Wild in 2008. And Derek is putting the programme out again today as a mark of respect to his to his birthday. And
what was he like?
A birthday treat for us all. He was great. He came in, we were all sitting there, Richard Collins, Derek, myself, and in he comes, sits down at the studio and spends the whole programme talking and listening. listening to it. And we were chatting away like old friends about, you know, where he'd been and the things he had done and what he preferred to be the best and all of, you know, the things he did when he was away in the different parts around the world. And we asked him what he thought of the world and whether it was going down the tubes and, you know, was he, had he hope for it, and was he despairing of how much had deteriorated since the beginning. He was talking about looking at birds of paradise, and when he started out away in the Far East looking at these, there were so many of them that the tribesmen in the local area all dressed up in their feathers. And now, of course, if you could see a bird of paradise at all, you'd be doing well. Mm. And we discussed these things, but he was so interesting. I mean, he was so, I mean, I know he presents his programmes, so you think, well, he's a presenter reading the script, but I mean, all his years have given him this huge amount of knowledge. So, like, he wasn't reading the script. He didn't know what we were going to ask him. It wasn't one of these programs where you were only allowed to ask certain questions. It was anything we wanted. He gave us all his time, his lovely voice, and we can hear it all again this evening. So it's great.
Yeah, so it's going to be broadcast again. What time's that at, actually? It's worth highlighting that.
Our usual time at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, okay.
On Radio 1, yeah, RTÉ 1.
He's the voice of nature, really, isn't he? An incredible voice.
He absolutely is. I mean, he was the first to sort of stop nature being some kind of a serious scientific thing that only people who had degrees in science could be knowing about. And of course, it coincided with the advent of coloured television. In fact, he was the first programmes he did were in black and white, those ones with the birds of paradise. And then his voice then, and his own interest and wonder. I mean, he was amazed to see this. This amazement was in his voice. He was excited to see this. This excitement was in his voice. And the camera work and the crew and the people he had with them spent years doing this. I mean, the budget they had for the BBC programme was absolutely what we have for the whole of RTÉ. That was just the nature section of those, you know. I mean, I was out this morning at 4:30 in Altamont Gardens on a dawn chorus. We had about 50 people there and the birds were singing. So, like, regardless of whether anyone was commenting on them or whether anyone was talking to them, there we could hear in Altamont Gardens, we could hear all of the different birds, including things like a woodpecker, for example, that has come back to Ireland, who wasn't here 50 years ago, or only came back about 20 years ago, and it's all over the country now. And, you know, lovely birds like blackbirds and thrushes and magpies, and all of those birds were, all of them were there. And, you know, that's the last programme now, I think, the latest one that David Attenborough was bringing out about our garden birds, about all around us. He's been all around the world. He's been under the sea. He's been everywhere else. And now
we're
focusing after on our very doorstep, indeed, while we still have it, you know. So we're beginning to realise that, you know, we are responsible. And not that he's beginning to realise, but he's beginning to make it manifest in his programme that the condition of the world depends on us. They're not putting on a show for us. They're depending on us. And if we don't behave ourselves properly, we won't have the wildlife he described so beautifully.
Tina Claffey, wildlife photographer, is with us here too. You were listening to Brendan, Tina. I think you're similar in that you also received a letter from David Attenborough.
Hi, Andrea. Yes, indeed, I did. I'm a nature photographer, and I suppose by way of thank you, I sent him my first book back in 2019. And a couple of months later, I just got the post and I was flipping through and I just saw this envelope addressed to me, and I tore the envelope, which was handwritten, and then I opened it up and I couldn't believe it. My hands were shaking as I read the letter. I just couldn't believe it.
So you just sent David Attenborough a copy of your book, did you?
I sent him a copy of my book, which was kind of like celebrating the bogs and wetlands of Ireland. And in the letter, he thanked me, and then he said, "I look forward eagerly to sitting at leisure and taking in its words and images." And just the thought of him sitting in an armchair holding my book and leafing through it kind of made my life.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's a lovely image. And so he sat down and put pen to paper.
Yes, he sat down and put pen to paper. And then a few years later, 3 years later, I had my second book and I sent it again. I sent the second book to him and I got another letter from him.
Did you?
And
what did that say?
I think the most amazing part of this letter was that he acknowledged the first book in the letter.
So he remembers. What did he say about it?
He said, thank you very much indeed for, I have to say as well, when you're reading his letters, you have to read it in his voice. His voice is almost in your head as you're reading it. But he thanked me for the book and he said, I know I shall enjoy it greatly, just as I did its predecessor. So that blew my mind, really, God, that he remembered 3 years later the book I had sent him before. So, I mean, wow. What a measure of the man, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have the letters framed or where are they?
I have the originals kept safely away and I have copies of my letters, yes, up on my wall.
It's lovely.
I can look at now and again.
It's hard to believe he's 100 though, isn't it?
I know. It's incredible. Like, I mean, we all know that voice. We all recognize that face and what he has done to raise awareness about the wonders of the natural world for us all. He's just the best human on the planet.
Well, it's lovely to be able to celebrate his 100th birthday today on the programme and to talk to so many David Attenborough fans. I mean, many, many more of you still getting in touch with us. We'll leave it there for the moment, though. Tina Claffey, Aine and Elina and Brendan as well, thanks so much for getting in touch and sharing your stories with us. Email, as always, lunchtimelivenewstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.